Let's put it this way. I've entitled my message for tonight, Liar, Liar. Lyle, try to keep the finger pointing down, okay? Some time ago, Jim Carrey starred in a movie entitled Liar, Liar. My opinion, the only good movie he ever made. He played the role of a slick, lying attorney who suddenly couldn't tell a lie for a 24-hour period of time because of a magic wish that his son made on his birthday. His son had this one wish that for 24 hours my dad couldn't lie, because his father was always lying to him, always saying, Max, I'll pick you up at this time, and his dad wouldn't show up. So for his birthday, the kid's desire was, I just wish for a period of time my dad couldn't lie to me. And of course, the wish comes true, and the movie's all about the trouble that this lawyer encounters when he has to tell the absolute truth in every circumstance. I mean, it's chaotic. And near the end of the movie, there's a serious note when the father confesses to the son. They're sitting there at the picnic table, and he's trying to get Max to undo the wish. And he says, Max, I can't do my job and tell the truth. He says, everybody lies. Everybody lies. Do you think that's true? Does everybody lie? Can we go through life without lying? Let me ask you this. Would it be difficult for you to go through a 24-hour period of time being absolutely truthful? I mean, absolutely truthful. Not stretching the truth, not little white lies, not exaggerating, just absolutely truthful. It wasn't that long ago, the most powerful man in the world, our president, lied to us in the matter of Monica Lewinsky. Can you still picture it? Standing in front of all those TV cameras. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Then he redefined every word you could think of, you know. Woman means what? My woman, I thought you meant, you know, he went into all this crazy stuff trying to get around, you know, his lies. You know, the joke that you've probably heard, I think, has a lot of truth to it. It says, how do you know when a politician is lying? When their lips are moving. When their lips are moving, you know they're lying. How about the average person in our society? Does it really matter to you whether they distort the truth a little or a lot? You know, the politician and the salesman, consumer, the doctor, the boss, all in their own way misrepresent the truth. They exaggerate the hurt that was done to them. They minimize the wrongs they've done to others. It's just the way society seems to function today. And we're part of this society, and so we take part in the misrepresentations also. We get caught up in it. Your son has to go to court, so you phone the boss and say, well, Johnny is sick today. Or you know full well that you were doing 72 and a 55, but you insist to the officer you were only doing 60. When a friend wants to know what you think of her new dress, we have our thoughts, but we don't see any need to offend. And so we flatter and we tell them the outfit looks absolutely stunning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Lying is part of our society. And all too often, we as Christians, we get caught up in it. Probably many of us feel pressure from time to time to distort the truth in order to survive in our culture. I recently sold a Ford Explorer that I had, and the man who was looking to buy it told me, he says, look, I already got the money. I got a bank check. You know, the bank sent me a check. You know, all I got to do is get this cash. He says, but the check's only for $7,000. I wanted $7,500. I told him, I need $7,500. You either come up with five other $100 or you can't have it. So he says, well, let me get back to you. So he calls me in a couple of days and said, look, I got the money. And what I'd like to know is, can I borrow the truck for a trip that we're taking to New York this weekend? Well, hear the rest of this. You know, I said, he says, I got the money. I said, so you got all the money? He said, yeah, the check was really for a lot more than I told you. He said, I just lied to you because I hope I could get it at a better deal. Then he asked me, can I take it out of town? Oh, sure, you lie, and I know I can't trust you. Take my truck for a couple of days. Help yourself. Absolutely ridiculous. I thought, am I nuts or is the rest of the world? You know, the guy lies to me, tells me he lies to me, and then says, oh, can I use it for the weekend? Sure. Just tell me someone stole, you know, do whatever you want and make up some kind of story for me. You know, I was like, it's just everywhere you go, you know. And I think it's making me pretty cynical. I mean, when someone tells me something, I have a tendency not to believe them unless I know them. I mean, if I don't know you and know you're a person of character, you tell me something, inside I'm going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Because it seems like everybody lies. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a guy, and I said, hey, this coming Sunday's Easter. Wouldn't it be a good opportunity for you and your family to come to church? I'll be there, he said. And I was kind of thinking, I said, serious? Yes, I'll be at church. Oh, that's good. Okay, good. Guess what? He wasn't at any church. He wasn't at any church. And though our society gives ample place to the lie, the Lord doesn't. The Bible teaches that telling the truth is a necessity for survival of life as we know it. You know, chaos always results when we replace the truth with lies. Can you imagine living in an environment where there is no truth? For example, no truth on labels. You pick up a label trying to find out what's in the food or something, and they can just put anything they want on it. And you're like, how do you know? How do you know? Unless you have an independent lab in your house that, you know, goes through everything to find out what the contents are. People can say anything they want. They're always being dragged to court for lying. You know, where there is no guarantees, no promises, no commitments, because you can't trust people. How would you like to live in that kind of society? Well, we're starting to find out what it's like, aren't we? Relationships would dissolve because it's trust that hold relationships together. And when you can't trust somebody, how do you have a relationship with them? How vital for us as followers of Jesus Christ to just spend a few minutes this evening talking about why it's important to always be truth tellers. Now, before I give you several reasons why we as believers shouldn't lie, let me first make this clear to you from my perspective, and you can disagree with this if you want. I know some Christians do, but I'm giving you my perspective on it. I do not consider joking as lying. Okay? Yeah. I don't know that it's going to help, but thanks, Colleen. Now, like I said, there's some people who do. They think, oh, you should never joke. You know, they consider, if you tell a joke, well, that's a lie. You know, for example, someone could say to you, did you hear the one about the two men who were walking down the road and the one said to the other, well, there really wasn't two men, and one didn't really say something to another? So you could say, well, that's a lie. You know, I mean, we could get real legalistic about this, but I think there's a place for joking as long as the joking is not hurting people, as long as it's done not done to hurt somebody else. I think we all do it, or at least I know I sure do it. You know, I like to joke. And I think there's a difference between, you know, joking around and just being a flat-out liar. Well, the first reason I think that we find to be truth-tellers is that God commands us. God commands us to tell the truth. Take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. God hates lying. And he commands us to deal truthfully with each other. In Proverbs 6:16, it says, these six things does the Lord hate, yet seven are an abomination to him. Proverbs 6:17, a proud look, a lying tongue. God hates lying. It's his hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Did you note that out of these seven abominations, that two of them deal with lying? God hates lying because God is the God of truth. Look at Proverbs 12:19. It says, the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Look at 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Now let me ask you this. Do you want to be an abomination to the Lord or a delight to the Lord? Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Proverbs 20:17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward, his mouth will be filled with gravel. That's kind of a vivid picture. You know, it's sweet when you gain this something through deceit, but then you got this picture of a mouth filled with gravel. Not a very appetizing picture. Look at Proverbs 21:6. says, getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. So Proverbs very vividly speaks about lying and truthfulness. The ninth commandment makes it very clear in its intent. Exodus 20:16 says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And Leviticus 19 repeats God's emphatic instruction to Israel. Leviticus 19:11 says, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Psalm 15 asks this question, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? And it gives this answer in verse 2, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Now turn over with me to Revelation. Let's go to the very last book of the New Testament. In a word, lying was to be rooted out from among God's people. God hates lying. He's always hated lying. All through the Old Testament, there's injunctions against lying. We get to the New Testament, we find nothing different. God hates lying. Revelation 21, verse 7 and 8. 21:7 says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8 says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God says, listen, all the liars belong in the lake of fire. That's what he is saying here. Now look at Revelation 22, verse 15. And I want you to see that God places outside of the New Jerusalem which represents the New Covenant community, and God places outside of this community whoever loves and practices a lie. 22:15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Instead of uttering a lie or even twisting the truth, the Lord's instruction is this. Listen to what Zechariah 8:16 says. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man truth to his neighbor. That's what God wants. God wants us to speak the truth to one another. Now, these scriptures should make it clear that God hates lying, and he commands us as believers to tell the truth. Now, most of us would agree that lying is not a good thing. However, we have a problem. Like the character in the movie, to some degree, most of us lie. Telling the truth is difficult, particularly as we live in a society that increasingly discounts the value of telling the truth. Opinion polls indicate that people accept a certain amount of packaging of the truth, cover-up, stonewalling, spin doctoring, as inevitable realities in the world of politics, business, and sadly even in personal relationships. You know, lying is so much a part and parcel of today's society that many Christians feel they need to lie from time to time if they're going to survive, let alone function in society. Well, how do we apply the norm of Scripture to the culture that we live in? To answer that question, turn with me to the book of Titus. And let me show you how Paul deals with this in relation to Titus and the Isle of Crete. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1:5 says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you. Now, if you're still looking for Titus, keep looking because we're going to look at a few more verses there. We learn from this passage that the Apostle Paul had left his servant Titus on the Isle of Crete to appoint church leaders and to build up the local church in that place. Now, the task wasn't easy for Titus, so to kind of encourage him to help him, Paul wrote this letter to him. And in this letter, the apostle interacted with the circumstances as they were on that island. And those circumstances are described in verse 10 of Titus 1. It says, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Now here are people who have heard the gospel, but now they talk in a way that misrepresents the gospel. And as a result, verse 11 says, whole households are subverted. In that context, Paul says, it's the way the Cretans are. The people who live on this island. Look at verse 12. Paul says, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Now, Paul quotes one of their own prophets to confirm the fact that Cretans, these people who lived on the Isle of Crete, are always liars. And then he adds this testimony to it. In verse 13, he said, this is true. Here then was a culture just like ours, filled with liars. But now notice, Paul doesn't tell Titus to put up with it. As in, hey, that's the way things are. You know how the Christians are. They're just a bunch of liars. You're going to have to learn to deal with that. No, rather, Paul puts it very emphatically in verse 13 of Titus 1. He says, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. He doesn't tolerate lying among the people of Crete, even though these people have been brought up with lies a part of their culture. He says, rebuke them sharply. Why doesn't Paul tolerate lying? Should he not recognize that the circumstances and the culture are just too much and let's just go along with it? Well, the apostle himself tells us why he doesn't tolerate lying. Notice how he starts the letter to Titus. Let's back up to verse 1 of chapter 1. He sets truth over against lying here in these verses. Titus 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Paul, you see, knows himself to be a servant of God who cannot lie. He knows himself to be charged to preach the gospel that acknowledges the truth. If God cannot lie, then there's no room for lying among God's children. See, if God doesn't lie, but as Isaiah 65:16 says, he is the God of all truth, what place ought Paul to give to lying? None. Lying, he says, is to be put away from us. Ephesians 4:25 says this, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What then do we need to conclude? Just this, lying simply doesn't belong among God's children. Society may have plenty of room for the lie, but that's because society doesn't know God. We as his children are to imitate our Father. And that's the second reason to be truth tellers, is that as Christians, we are to imitate Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to. You know, we are probably the only Bible that many people will ever read. They look at our lives, and they believe what they believe about Christianity based on how we live. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me just as I'm imitating Christ. Paul's telling them, I'm following Christ, I want you to follow me. So basically, they're to be followers of Christ also. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. I want you to imitate your Father. I want you to live like Him. He's a truth teller. You be a truth teller. We're to be imitating Christ. I wonder if we fully realize how a skeptical public judges the merit of trusting Jesus by observing our behavior. Jesus identified Himself as truth, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The cause of Christ is injured by even one lie that we tell. Christianity is made contemptible in the eyes of one, in the one to whom you lie. Because he not only sees you, but he sees the whole cause in which you stand for, and he writes it off as worthless. I read of a man who said, you know, when a man tells me that he's a Christian, he says, I get nervous and I get cautious. I've been burned by so many Christians, I decided I can never trust a Christian. Now, what brought him to that place? Christians who lie. That's what brought him there. When we lie, we injure the cause of Christ. Think of how often we as Christians stretch the truth. You know, we just got through a time in our society, tax time. How many of you are really honest with the IRS? Believe me, I know the temptation. I know the temptation. It's like, well, I don't like the government anyway. They use my money wrong anyway. You know, and every year I go through this ton of rationalization. Then I get to the bottom line. None of that matters. I got to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But it's amazing. I mean, the fight, if you saw the movie Liar, Liar, and you saw Jim Carrey in the bathroom fighting, I do that every year at tax time. I'm beating myself up, you know. And I know all the government waste and everything, and I'm thinking, why should I give them my money? And it's like, that doesn't matter. I got to do what God says is right. I got to have a clean conscience. How about the excuses we give our friends for not accepting invitations? You know, we want to be gracious, so we just lie. Or maybe when we're late, we make up some excuse. You know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, or if we're missing an important event, and submitting expense report to our company, or in exaggerating stories. You know, we just all get caught up in it. I think that if we took a tally of how often we stretch the truth, it'd be totally humiliating to learn just how often and how easily we compromise being totally honest. And because the reputation of Jesus is at stake in our behavior, God is calling us to be proactive in carefully scrutinizing our habits of exaggerating, telling white lies, separating our business ethics from our personal ethics. The secular world loves nothing better than to catch a Christian in some form of dishonesty, followed by this usual litany, and you say you're a Christian. If that's the impact Jesus is having on your life, I'm not impressed. And they have cause to say that. Now, I mentioned white lies. What are white lies? You heard of those, haven't you? I guess the other ones are black, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what color. That's the only color lies I've ever heard of is white. So I'm not really sure what that means. But I think that they're considered white lies because they're harmless, right? They're good little lies, right? But when you see this in light of the Scripture, you got to see that a white lie is a lie. You just call it white so you don't feel so bad doing it, okay? That's the bottom line. While lies usually occur in circumstances where we are asked to give our opinion about, you know, something. That's how we get white lies involved. Someone asks you, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? And we feel negative about it, but we don't want to say anything for fear of hurting their feelings, so we lie. We lie. We say the nice thing, the pleasant thing, and their feelings are not hurt, and we think, I've saved them from hurt, therefore no harm is done by lying to them. What is happening here is we're deciding what is good and what is bad. It's situational ethics. We decide this is a place where I can lie, so I can lie. How far do we go with stuff like that? Many years ago, when I was a lot younger and a lot dumber, if you can believe that, I was meeting with a couple. It was kind of an intense meeting to start with, and we were at Shoney's, and the two were sitting across from me in a booth, and I don't know where this came from. You know, I'm a Calvinist, so I rest in the sovereignty of God. But this lady looked at me and she said, what do you think of me? It's a dumb question to ask somebody. Especially to ask me, huh? Now, let me say, in this situation, our first priority is to tell the truth. But we are to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. We're to speak the truth in love. What I could have said to this woman was, I think you're a person who tries hard to please people. And because you try to look good in everybody's eyes, you end up seeming somewhat artificial. That would have been true. See, I could have put it that way. But what I said to her was, I think you're a phony and a hypocrite. And then I looked and I thought for a minute, did I just say that? Her husband was visibly shaking because he wanted to reach across the table and touch me, you know. I mean, he was upset, and I was like, spoke the truth. Wasn't in love, wasn't too nice. I thought, whoa, this is not a good situation. But, I mean, that's what I thought. I mean, I just was taken off guard when she said, what do you think of me? Oh, I think you're a phony and hypocrite. Other than that, I like you a lot, you know. So I spoke the truth, but I didn't speak it in love. I could have put it in a way that, you know, was, of course, like I said, I was, for those of you who think I'm a little overzealous now, you should have known me 10, 15 years ago. Some of you have, and you know that I have made some mellowing moves. Needless to say, it didn't go over too well. The situation didn't turn out too well with us, and I damaged, you know, a relationship that, you know, we go back to Proverbs, you know, brother offended is harder won than a walled city. And there's a lot of truth to that. It's hard when you do damage in a relationship like that. It's very hard to repair. So we are to be truthful because Jesus, whom we are to imitate, is always truthful. But we need to remember that the Jesus whom we are to imitate was also always loving. Always loving. And I think there's ways that we can put the truth across to people without, you know, being so blunt, being damaging, being hurtful in the way that we do it. But I think it's important that we tell truth. Too often we lie to people so they keep on in the same behavior because everyone's lying to them. So, oh yeah, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. And, you know, and they go on in the same behavior because no one really tells them the truth in a loving manner. So our second reason to be a truth teller is to reveal to the world that Following Jesus Christ creates a breed of person committed to telling the truth amidst a crooked environment. We're to be truth tellers. A third reason we're to be truth tellers is that telling lies has horrible consequences. Telling lies has horrible consequences. Psalm 101:7 says this, "He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence." God is saying when we involve ourselves with, as his children, in lies, we literally destroy the fellowship that we have with God. It destroys our fellowship. God is a God of truth. When we lie, we move out of the realm of being in fellowship with the God of truth. Taking detours from truth destroys relationships. It hurts our relationship with our Father. And at the national level, Gallup polls reveal that widespread public distrust of politicians and the media has resulted from so many lies being exposed. I mean, when you hear politicians, do you believe them? Do you believe the media? I know I don't. You know, I hear stuff on the news, and you're like, I wonder how much of that is true. I've been interviewed by the media, and I've read the interview afterwards, and I'm like, I never said that. I mean, they just put it, and he said, and they just put it in whatever they want to, you know? They make up whatever they want, and they say, he said it. I didn't say that. Cynicism has become a national disease, and I think, you know, there's good reason for that. Think how awful it is when we can't trust what we see, what we hear from people. The consequences, I think, become even more painful at the relational level. Can you articulate the pain when a person you trust lies to you? Relationships are devastated. Isolation, anger, and suspicion rush in and fill the vacuum. You can't have relationships with people when they lie to you. Because what do you base that relationship on? If you know they're lying, then how do you take anything they say? You already have established the point they're a liar. When I was 16, I'd been dating this girl named Debbie for over a year. And one day I called her up, and the relationship was, it wasn't like everything was great. The relationship was, you know, getting a little rocky at the time. And I called her up and I said, "You want to do something tonight?" And she said, "No, I'm going horseback riding with Ingrid, her girlfriend." I said, "Oh, that's cool. You know, they did that quite often, so no problem." Well, I went over to her, stopped at her house that day later on because I wanted to pick something up that was there. And when she answered the door, she had her hair in curlers. And it's raining. And I'm thinking, horseback riding in the rain with her hair up. Yeah, that makes sense. People do that all the time, don't they? I mean, if you're going riding in the rain, wouldn't you put your hair up? I left her house, got in my car, drove away, never, ever called her again. I was like, I don't need that. If you want to lie to me, it's over. If I can't trust you, then there is no relationship, and it's done. Because relationships have to be built on trust. I mean, how could I believe anything she's telling me? If you can lie about one thing, you can lie about anything. And you have no relationship. You know, I've been lied to so many times by so many people that I'm getting cynical almost. Like I said, if I don't know someone's character, I'm not going to believe what they have to say. You know, I remember years ago someone said, "Well, do you trust them?" Why? I don't know them. Why would you trust somebody you don't know? I mean, to me, trust is built on understanding character. That's why I trust God. I studied the Bible. I learned God's character. I learned that I can trust him. When I learn someone's character, then I learn I can trust that person, then I trust them. I don't trust strangers. Why would I? I don't believe what people have to say. You know, the funniest thing is, you know what's absolutely insane? To go up to a perfect stranger and ask them directions. How do you get this? Oh, they tell you, go here, go there, go here. And then you leave and you think, you know, they're probably sitting back there laughing. Sent them in the total wrong direction, you know. We were at Hardee's last Thursday morning, and this guy comes in. How do you get to Los Gaviotas Golf Course? And two guys are sitting at a table. One guy points this way, and the other guy points this way. And we all just busted out laughing. I'm like, go that way. And the guy just kind of scratched his head. Hey, you could go either way. What they were saying is, you go down to that light and turn in, there's Los Gaviotas Golf Course. You go to this way, turn in, Los Gaviotas Golf Course. But it looked pretty ridiculous when they both went that way, you know. Guy's like, yeah, I think I'll just find it myself. Thank you very much. Focusing on the personal consequence of habitual lying, we find increasing devastation. I mean, it destroys relationships, people. And that's why it's so important that we learn as Christians. We've got to tell the truth. A liar lives under the pressure of always having to remember what they said. Oh, what did I tell you now? I can't remember what I told you. So, you know, you get caught up. You tell the truth. As long as you know what the truth is, your story's always consistent. Truth becomes what we want it to be. Lying becomes a kind of personal prison. You just end up, you've told so many lies, you don't even know what the truth is anymore. You start believing them yourself. Well, needless to say, the Bible urges us to tell the truth because of the dire consequences of lying. Cal Thomas was right when he wrote regarding God's laws. In reality, those moral laws have all the certainty of physical laws. When they are violated, society always discovers the revenge of the offended absolutes. Lying has consequences. You know, I always told my girls when they were growing up, if I know you tell me the truth, you can do anything you want to, because you tell me something, I believe it. But if you lie to me, you can't do anything, because I don't know what to believe, and I have to guard everything you do. Teenagers, tell your parents the truth. Be known for truth-telling. Then your parents, when they trust you, believe me, you'll have more and more freedom. But if they don't trust you, you can't give someone freedom you don't trust. You might be thinking, how in the world can we survive if we always tell the truth in today's climate? Won't we quickly find ourselves poverty-stricken or even unemployed if we diligently see that, you know, we speak the truth to our boss all the time? Won't we find ourselves in deep trouble if we answer truthfully Dad's questions about where we were last night? Or if we answer truthfully the teacher's questions? And, you know, it's a fact that our finite minds drive us to the conclusion that we simply can't survive if we tell the truth. And so we have to lie. We have to lie for self-preservation. We think that that's the better way to go. But that's because our minds are depraved, and they tend to constantly go away from the truth. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We have to understand that as Christians, we need to learn to trust God. And one of the things in trusting God is telling the truth, because He's the God of truth, and trusting God to take care of the circumstances that result from our telling the truth. Our minds don't give God the place in our thinking that He needs. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't we do that so often? Well, if I tell the truth, I'm going to be in trouble. Well, tell the truth. If it gets you in trouble, so what? Tell it. Look at Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And God commands us not to lie. So we need to be truth tellers. And what promise comes with this instruction to trust God and to keep His commands? Look at verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace will He add to you. You see what it's saying? God's saying, listen, you tell the truth and I'll bless you for that. You know, we think if I tell the boss the truth, I'll be up a creek. But God says, if you tell the boss the truth and you get up the creek, I'll be there to paddle the boat for you. I'll take care of the situation. I'll bless you for being a truth teller. You know, if God so cared so much about us that He delivered us when we were in slavery to sin, He's certainly going to care for us as we're His children. And we seek to honor Him by being truth tellers. It's true to our sinful minds, telling a lie is, a lot of times it's a way to fix a situation. It's going to save us our job, or it's going to get us off the hook with the law, or prevent a hassle with our teacher. But God's Word tells us differently. He wants the truth, only the truth, always the truth. And He has promised that He will bless us when we do that. You know, God gave His Son to die on Calvary for us, to redeem us, to buy us back, to set us free from the power of the sin. We've been going through that in Romans chapter 6. God has set us free from sin. We do no longer have to live in it. Now, what does God do? He tests us. And the test is this. Will you give in to the temptation and lie? Or will you trust me and tell the truth? Even if your boss comes against you and you lose your shirt or you lose your reputation or you lose your freedom, it's a fact that lying is a very much accepted thing in our society. And the reality simply makes the test that God sets before us much more acute. But even if all society lies, that doesn't change the thing about the reality of God's Word. So what are you going to do when you're confronted with a question? Are you going to count on the Lord and His promises and tell the truth? Or are you going to follow your own heart and say, well, I just better not tell the truth. It might not go so well. It's always right to tell the truth. Always. In every situation. A fourth reason to be truthful in every situation is that becoming a truth teller will bring about radical change in our society. As Christians, we're to influence the world in which we live. How do you more influence a lying culture than by being a truth teller? In every situation. When we strive to imitate Jesus Christ, He enables us to influence the environment where God has placed us. Most of us, I think, thrive on investing our lives in something that is really significant. What could be more significant than become part of a movement to restore truth to the marketplace, to our culture, in our personal relationships? Remember, change in society always begins with a few. The decline of truth in our culture started with just a few people telling lies all the time, and it spread like a virus. A change for the better can start the same way. A spiral of decay and personal and public lying seems to be occurring in our time. I mean, it's hard to believe anybody. I mean, the president can lie and everybody just thinks, well, it's no big deal. However, the good news is that change for the better can also begin with a few, and it can accelerate. When we as Christians demonstrate that following Jesus does create a person capable of being honest, no matter what the cost, such behavior will have an impact. In the early church, it was the honesty of the Christians that made them appear as lights in a decadent environment, making the faith very attractive. I believe we have a similar potential today that will bring great honor to Jesus Christ. Well, where do we start? We start with confession to God. We start with confessing to God that we have sinned by being less than honest in many situations. In his great psalm of repentance, David said this, "Have mercy on me, O God. Against you and you only have I sinned. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Create in me a clean heart, O God," in Psalm 51. That's where we start. And after expressing our desire to be truthful, we can seek to be honest in the little things. You know, I don't know how it is in your life, but in my life, it's the little things that are the difficult things. The big things, I mean, if it's a question of something big, and I just know you got to be honest, but sometimes you find yourself shading the truth on the little things. You know, catching ourselves in those white lies or half-truths or exaggerating stories for expediency. We can be honest in our business dealings. You know, I recently sold a truck, and the guy who bought it was haggling with me over the price, and he says, "Well, I'll give you this much." And I went back, I said, "Look, you throw in another $100 and we got a deal." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "I'll do that, but if you'll put on the title that I paid less for it." And I said, "I can't do that." He said, "What?" I said, "I can't do that." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'd be lying, and I don't lie." And there was just this big silence on the phone. And then finally he said, "Oh, that's good. I think we ought to tell the truth." I mean, you know, talk about feeling stupid. You know, you feel stupid. "Well, you're lying." I said, "No, I don't lie." "Oh, yeah. I wish I could have seen him, you know, because his face probably dropped." "Well, why don't you lie? Come on, you know. I mean, he wanted me to lie to help him out." I said, "I can't do that. I'm telling you." And I said to him, "Aren't you glad that I'm selling you a vehicle and I'm telling you the truth? Does that give you any comfort at all?" He goes, "Well, yeah, that does." And I'm like, "Okay. It's to your advantage that I tell the truth." And I think he did like that aspect, but when it helped him, he wanted me to lie. We can be honest, folks, in our homes, honest with our children. You know, I think one of the stupidest things in the world is to lie to your kids, because your kids know. There's something in there. Intuitively, they know when the parent's not being truthful. And nothing hurts a child more than discovering that their parents haven't been honest with them. I read of a father who was taking his two sons to play miniature golf. And he inquired of the price, and the attendant told him it was $3 for him and $3 for any child over 6. So the father told him one of the boys was 3 and the other one was 7. And the attendant said, "You could have saved $3 if you just said the older boy was 6. I wouldn't have known the difference." And the father replied, "Yes, that's true. But the kids would have known the difference." And that's the depravity of the human heart that makes a person a liar for $3. For $3, is it worth selling your integrity for $3? It's so easy, isn't it? When you're, "Well, my kid's old. He just turned. I mean, he's close to that age." You know, we rationalize these things. We sell our integrity. How many fathers are teaching their children to be dishonest in situations like that? Folks, change starts with us. Throughout history, the Church of Jesus Christ has been the catalyst for change. The church truly has changed the world in which we live. So the good news today is that we individually, and we as a church family, possess great potential in Jesus Christ to do more than just wail about the lack of honesty in our times. We can be a catalyst for change by committing ourselves to being absolutely, totally honest in every situation. We can start today, finding the grace of God to forgive us for our past history of lies, and then asking God for the power to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'll tell you, when somebody knows you as a person who is an absolute truth teller in every situation, it brings great comfort to a relationship. Because they know they can go in any situation and ask a question and get an answer that is truthful. Not shaded, not bent in the direction to make them look better, but a truthful answer. And that's what relationships are built on. Truth. May we, as God's children, imitate our Father and take seriously. We live in a very lying culture. Let's be different than our culture. Let's be salt and light by being absolutely honest. At work, at home, at school, wherever we are, let's be truth tellers for the glory of God. Let's pray.